This is Amy Hall, and you're listening to Stand to Reason's hashtag STRask podcast with Greg Kokol. And this is the podcast where we get your questions from Twitter. So please send us those questions on Twitter. Just use the hashtag STRask, and we will see that. And we will consider your question for future shows. And since I get to ask the questions to Greg, I have a question that I'm very interested in. So I'd like to hear what you have to say about this, Greg.
Oh, that means you're flummoxed at this point. You need guidance, young child. I'll do my best.
It's one of my favorite topics. I admit, I've been picking some of my favorite topics for the past few shows.
All right.
But we got another one here. This is from Zip Zilch Nada.
Interesting.
What are, in your
experience... We've got nine nixed. Yet.
What are, in your experience, the most effective ways to share the gospel to Mormons? Have those methods produced fruit?
Well, I'm not the best person to ask because though I have talked to Mormons in the past, I have no visibility of the fruitfulness of what I've said. By the way, this is true in most cases of talking to non-Mormons, which is why I emphasize the notion of gardening as opposed to harvesting. People who are emphasizing harvesting and participate in harvesting can point to the individuals they harvested and say, yeah, I have LDS people I've led to Christ, and here's what I did. But that's not my approach, as many people know. And I have members of my extended family that are LDS, and I didn't do so well in those conversations. But partly, I think, because I abandoned my game plan and got more accusatory instead of stayed calm and asked the right kinds of questions. I summarized my points and fired my point across. Okay, I'm right and you're wrong because here's the reason. Boom. You know, and of course, that just doesn't go well with people who have very strong convictions contrary to yours, whether they're explicitly religious like LDS or non-religious. That's just not a good way to go, which is why the tactical game plan that I talk about in the book Tactics is so effective for people who practice the game plan. I say at the beginning now of my training sessions, by the way, if you don't do it, it don't work. Okay. And that applies to me as well. Okay. I have offered some ideas about how to do this. And frankly, I think since this has been an interest of yours, the Mormon Church and Mormonism, for quite a long time, I think you're more qualified to answer this. But I think that there are two issues that are critical with LDS. Well, actually, there's more than that. And the reason that it's more than that now I think about it is because there is no kinship in any way, shape, or form between LDS and Christianity, except they share vocabulary. The definitions of everything are different, okay? But I think a foundational concern for them is the concern of authority, because if you don't get your authority right, then you're going to believe the wrong things about God. And for them, the authority is not the Bible. The authority is the teachings of the Mormon Church, as articulated by Joseph Smith and those that followed him, that can be found in the Doctrine of Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price. The Book of Mormon is not the theological offender, which means that it's a bit odd when they ask you to pray and ask God to see if the Book of Mormon is his book, when that's not the book that's theological. And now they are once they get you in the Book of Mormon, then they get you in Mormonism, and the other things kind of come along with it, and the doctrinal authority of the church, and then their worldview begins being expressed with Christian terminology, though with different definitions. And little by little, you're indoctrinated into an entirely different religion. It is not a Christian religion, any more than Islam is. My Mormon friends say, well, we believe in Jesus. And I say, do you think Muslims are Christians? No, of course not. Well, Muslims believe in Jesus. And in fact, the Quran, there's more about Jesus than there is about Muhammad. It's just a different Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the New Testament. And that's absolutely critical. Okay. As witnessed, by the way, by the first couple of centuries of debate among Christians about just who Jesus was and people who got it wrong. The Gnostics got it wrong. The Arians got it wrong. The subordinationists got it wrong. Modalists got it wrong. These are all heresies of the first couple centuries because they kept getting Jesus wrong. And it really mattered to get him right because he's the one. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. Okay, so there's my prolegomena here to my answer. It seems to me, and you, I'm free to be corrected on this, Amy, but it seems to me that one of the biggest obstacles to dealing with Mormons is their understanding of authority and what that is the Mormon Church and why they think their authority is sound, which is their experience. This is where I would use a series of questions at the beginning to try to help them to see that their way that they are coming to the conclusion that Mormonism is true is the wrong way. Okay, and that is pray about it. And if you have the burning in the bosom, and it's God showing you, revealing to you that privately that the Book of Mormon is true, and that brings you in. Okay, that's your entree to Mormonism, and then they take it from there with the rest of the teaching. I use an illustration. I said, "Let's just say we are Mormon brothers." Okay. And I'm talking to you, we're both happily married and family, the whole thing. And I'm talking to you about somebody who moved in next door, a married couple. The woman is very attractive to me. And I'd had a couple of conversations with her, and she seems very taken with me and even seems to be flirting. And in fact, I think that with a little effort on my part, I tell my Mormon friend, my Mormon brother in this illustration, I bet you we could have an affair. Now, I prayed about it, and I'm not saying this to be joking at all. I'm just trying to follow the pattern. I've had a burning in my bosom regarding this, and the burning in my bosom I take to be God saying to me, it's okay to have this adulterous relationship. Now, you being my Mormon brother, what would you tell me about what I just said? And I'm virtually certain what they would say is, well, what you're thinking about doing and what you're praying about doing, we already know is wrong, so you shouldn't even be asking about it. If you have a burden in your bosom to do something wrong, well, then it's a false sign from God. Then my question is going to be, well, how do you know that what he's praying about is wrong? And the answer, of course, is because God has already revealed clearly that this is wrong. And so, and of course, at this point, I'm saying, you're right. I agree with that, okay? And what I'm trying to get them to do is to establish an epistemological point that the word of God that has already been revealed is the thing that is supposed to be judged against new claims, not some emotional experience. Not some burning in the bosom. What you have to, you do the same thing with the LDS claims you do with any Arian claims like Jehovah's Witnesses or any other aberrant group. You have to go back to the word already given, which, by the way, Mormons say they believe in. They qualify it and say as long as it's been properly translated. Well, of course we only believe the Word of God is the Word of God if it's properly translated. We agree with that entirely, at least at face value. Now, of course, what they end up doing with that is they use that qualification, and you can correct me on this, Amy, if you think I'm overstating, to diminish the Word of God, the Bible, when it's inconsistent, apparently inconsistent with their views, because they have made it clear that they think the gospel has been corrupted from the very beginning. Okay, so they say they believe the Bible's Word of God as long as it's properly translated, but it's only properly translated in the parts that they can construe to agree with LDS doctrine. The other things that you point out, well, we can't trust in that. And so they're picking and choosing. They're not demonstrating, wait, this is a bad translation. We know the Greek, and the Greek actually should be translated this way that is consistent with Mormon doctrine. No, they're playing a game, and it's self-serving. And so we just want to get past all of that. We both agree on the Bible. All right. Our translations are all good. They like the King James. All right, fine. The translations are good translations, even though there are very minor differences doctrinally between them. Nothing that matters. Okay, so then let's go back to the text and see whether the scripture, as we have received it from the early church down through the ages, matches Joseph Smith's understanding of God. It does not match in any way, shape, or form. None. Their view of the afterlife is different. Their view of God is different. Their view of Jesus is different. Their view of Satan is different. Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan. And both are the spirit brother of us. We are all finite created creatures on our way, in principle, to godhood. Satan took a detour, went the wrong way. Jesus did it pretty good, so he's a model that we can follow. But that's not the New Testament characterization of Jesus. So, and on and on and on I could go. I actually wrote a piece about this that you can find online, and it was simply answering the question, is Mormonism a denomination of Christianity? In other words, does it fall under the general rubric of Christianity, but just has its unique characteristics, like Baptists might be different from Lutherans, but they still are within the pale. And all I do is take their doctrinal book, it's on my shelf right here behind me, LDS Beliefs, published by Deseret Press, it's an authoritative source, and I just show how what they say here does not match anything that has to do with Christianity, unless you're talking about certain ethical principles. That's it. But we share ethical principles with all kinds of religions, okay? Because we're human beings and they're human beings. We're all made in the image of God, and so we got this stuff built in. Anyway, so the turnkey issue is their confidence in the legitimacy of the Mormon Church and its teachings because of an abuse of James chapter 1 and their application of that verse to the issue of getting the wisdom from God as to whether the Book of Mormon is actually from God. And so I want to disabuse them from that epistemology, so to speak, how they know what they know. How they know that the Book of Mormon is from God. And another thing to do, by the way, and many of you know the move that they make from James chapter 1, is to ask them, what's going on in James chapter 1? When James says, ask God of wisdom, for wisdom, and he will give it to you, what is he referring to? No, they're not going to know, because I guarantee you they haven't studied James 1. This is the isolated verse they've been given as a proof text to justify their methodology of finding out whether the Book of Mormon is legitimate or not, and they don't know the flow of thought at all. And if they did, then they would see that James is not giving a way to assess revelation. He's giving a way to survive trials.
Greg, what you said about not having visibility of the fruitfulness of any approach, I think it's really true, because what people need to understand is that Mormonism is more than just something people do on the side. It's something that envelops their whole life, all of their social connections, their families, all these sorts of things. And so most of the time, you're not going to see an immediate conversion on anyone's part. It's something that you have to engage over time. And that person may need to speak to a lot of people over time. So one thing you might want to check out is there are a couple resources that I think could help you out here. The first one is called Sharing the Good News with Mormons, Practical Strategies for Getting the Conversation Started. And this one is edited by Eric Johnson and Sean McDowell. And so what they did was they collected a bunch of different approaches that people take. So a bunch of people wrote chapters in this book where they explained the approach they used. And all these approaches are different. So you're asking, like, what's the most effective way to share the gospel to Mormons? I don't know that there is one way. A lot of times it depends on your knowledge and your gifts and your interests. And so when you read this book, this might give you an idea of all the different possibilities that are out there, and maybe one of those will work for you, or maybe you'll develop your own. Another resource I really recommend is a book called Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons, and it's by Mark J. Cares. And what he does is he's really helpful in showing how to apply the law to a Mormon. Because, of course, the problem is the Mormon thinks that he can achieve the highest level of heaven by following what they call their gospel, which is it's a whole list of laws and things that they have to fulfill. And if they're worthy enough, then they make it to the highest level. But of course, the whole point of the New Testament is that we cannot attain righteousness by law. And we've been talking about this for the last couple of episodes. And so what Mark Harris talks about a lot in there is how do you help the Mormon understand that he cannot make it by following any law, that he needs grace. And so I really recommend that book. And just to note before I go on, we lost Greg from this podcast because of rolling blackouts in California. So I'm just going to finish this up. But I do have a lot to say on this. This really is one of my favorite topics. And one of the reasons why this is my favorite topic, and this is why I think everyone should be interested in Mormonism, is that I love learning about Mormonism because it highlights some very key differences and some glories of the true God. So when I read about what they are, the God they're worshiping and the gospel that they are believing in, I'm reminded of what a glory our gospel is that God has given us, because it is so much better. So I'm going to give you an idea of what my approach is, although this is kind of the approach I start off in my mind when I start out. It doesn't always go that way because everybody's different. But I do start with what Greg said about the way that we know truth is by finding out what God said before. So here are the two key differences between Mormonism and Christianity. Number one, they have a different God. And number two, they have a different gospel. So when you look at the biblical text for new revelation, we see in Deuteronomy 13, we see, does the new revelation teach the same God that is taught in the Word of God? And then number two, in Galatians 1, we see that those who teach another gospel are to be accursed. So if someone comes along, if a prophet comes along and teaches a different God and or a different gospel, then we don't have to listen to that prophet. So what I'd like to do is explain that to them and tell them those are the two tests that are in the Bible. So now we have to look at, does Mormonism teach the same God as the Bible? And does Mormonism teach the same gospel as the Bible? If it does not teach the same, then we have to ask the question, has the Bible been changed? So once we get to that question, then we ask that. And if the Bible hasn't been changed, then we know Joseph Smith was a false prophet. But I always start off with either comparing who their God is and comparing what their gospel is to what the Bible says. So if you want to look online, I have a post that's titled Verses for Your Conversations with Mormons. And I have each of these categories and I have verses that you can use. You can look at those verses and say, okay, let's answer these questions. Is there more than one God? Has God changed from a man to God? Does God have a body? Do you worship Jesus? And then, so it gives you verses to go through that. And then if you go to the second section, how are we saved? You can look at the verses that talk about our salvation and see if Mormonism matches that. So that's kind of the direction that I take. One more thing that I've discovered is that their highest goal for eternity is that they will be with their families, and in particular with their spouse. That's their highest goal. That is a higher goal for them than being with Jesus. If you ask them what their goal is, they will talk about family before they think of being with Jesus. So another thing that I've started doing more of is trying to focus more on who Jesus is and kind of looking at what Paul says about Jesus being better than everything else. I think that's Philippians 3, where he talks about everything else being rubbish compared to Jesus. And so I like to kind of try and give them a taste of the glory of Jesus so that they start to desire him more, because what I found is that they view him as a means to an end. So Jesus is great because he gave them a plan that they can follow in order to reach the highest level of salvation. He's not an end in himself. Their goal is not to be with him. Their goal is to thank him for giving them a plan by which they can achieve what they really want, which is to be with their families forever. So if you can stir up a desire for Jesus in them, I think that is also a good way to go. But like I said, there are people have all sorts of ways of highlighting the differences between their God and our God and their gospel and our gospel. So see what you think about those books. See what you think about how you might illustrate those things. Take a look at my post. I have a lot of other posts on our website about the Mormon God and the Mormon gospel. So feel free to look up LDS on there and you should be able to find all those things. So, all right. Thanks for sticking with me, even though Greg dropped out. Thank you, California. So there you go. I really appreciate you guys sending in your questions. So keep doing that on Twitter, and we'll see you next time. This is Amy Hall, and formerly, this was also Greg Kokel from Stand to Reason. Thanks for listening.